Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a day that started out rainy. It rained. Boy, it rained a lot yesterday afternoon while we were wrapping up the show before we got done. And it rained a lot this morning, so much that it changed the Auburn football practice schedule. We thought we had a viewing window this morning at around 10 o'clock. But I found out right as I pulled in today. I pulled in over near the complex at 9:35. And thought, you know, before I walk all the way up there, I ought to check my email. And yep, at 9:33 came an email saying major change to practice. The viewing window was going to be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So Dan and I both were there for the 3 o'clock viewing window. I could not make the player interviews today midday, but Dan was there, and we should have some audio from that. We'll talk about what we saw. Both of us sort of focused a little more on the defense today. We looked at the offense yesterday. Today we were over on the defensive side. Purely coincidental that was the only place out on the field that had any shade.
Well, no, I mean, you could stay near the indoor complex, right? The open doors of the indoor have
Kirk
have
and some... Shelley had a perfect location.
That's I spent much of the first part of practice over there and watched some of the receivers work. And, you know, my snap judgments from two viewing windows, Bill. It's hard not to be drawn to the guys that are new to the team, right?
Sure.
Because and that's not to say, like, we had media opportunities earlier today with Marcus Harris, Gunnar Britton, Keontae Scott, and Tyler Fromm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great to talk to all of them, but there are Marcus Harris is a great example of, I think, someone who really looks impressive just from, you know, what I remember. I mean, and Marcus was, I think, adjusting to, I actually asked Marcus about adjusting to the SEC after starting his career in a different conference.
Right.
And he talked about sort of what's demanded, especially at the line of scrimmage, you know, what's demanded of you and how it's a different animal when you play Auburn's schedule versus what he was doing previously in his career. And he was still in big-time football. Right? That's a Big 12 and still coming over, and it was a big adjustment. But the new players, we talked about Caleb Burton yesterday. We mm-hmm. talked about, I mean, Damari Alston's not new, but he's made a big
Peyton
jump.
Thorne.
Peyton Thorne, of course. Rivaldo.
Jair Shorter.
Keldrick Falk.
Right.
You know, I think it's, you know, and I guess another new player that I'm Keldrick Falk is a great example of someone where it's like, oh, you're taking a look and seeing maybe what you've got there. Austin Keys, maybe another example mm-hmm. of that. But yeah, and a lot of eyes on Justin Rogers today as well. I mean, it's not just the new players. It's it's some of the it's not just the veterans. Some of the new players as well. But yeah, I'd like to know sort of who you were keeping an eye on there.
Well, I was. After Hugh Freeze talked about the secondary yesterday, I wanted to see who was lined up where and, you know, how sort of the groupings were. We saw four deep at corner and pretty much have an idea, at least right now, who all's working at corner, nickel, and safety. There are a lot of folks out there, you know, a few of the new ones. I mean, they're you know, working behind. I thought it was interesting the way Auburn was doing defense today. They had a player with sort of a player as his shadow lined up, not on the line of scrimmage, but everywhere off the line of scrimmage. You'd have the front four, and then at linebacker, there'd be two linebackers with two other linebackers, like either a step or two steps to the side is the way the linebackers were. And then in the secondary, there would be your starting five there in the secondary with a player like two steps behind them so that they could mimic and they would move together. It was like synchronized, you know, linebackers and secondary.
Did you get, yeah, it was understudies more than backups, but did you get the sense that the understudies were guys that were new to the team as well and players?
Yeah, they generally were.
Yeah, they hadn't gone through spring practice, and so maybe that's a way to try to
right,
to,
for them to learn what the coaches want.
Exactly. I mean, it's a way to catch them up on, mm-hmm. on what's expected of them, you know, in practice by having them mimic someone who's gone through it and has gone through it at a high level. Now that's interesting. I had not, and the point, I guess the player that I would have mentioned yesterday and watched him make a couple of plays today, just moving around. I don't know what I was expecting physically from Jair Shorter, but I guess it would be easy to think that a group of five player is going to come in undersized.
He is not undersized.
Like, you know what I mean? And Gunnar Britton isn't either. But like, it's easy to think, okay, well, you know, one of the reasons he might not have been in a power conference before this year is because he lacks prototypical size, the position. Jair Shorter is a really impressive looking mm-hmm. receiver. And yeah, between Burton and Shorter, I mean, I would think between Burton and Shorter, they throw the ball to Nick Mardner a lot in practice too. You know, it seems like, you know, these first 2 days, I've noticed Nick Mardner, you know, being the target of a lot of what we've been able to watch. But Burton, Shorter, Hooks, Mardner, and then of the returning receivers, you would think Javarius and Camden Brown maybe have a leg up on the rest based on what we've seen. I mean, what was it, Amari Kelly was in a...
Yeah, Jay Fair was actually lined up in the first group we saw yesterday. But, you know, they were moving him around so much, it was really tough to determine. You couldn't tell who was, you know, running first, second, third yesterday.
Especially at receiver. Like, it does seem like mm-hmm. that is wide open at the moment, but it's hard not to make some snap judgments about some of the guys, especially the ones you've never seen before. You know, the ones that we're seeing for the first time these last couple of days. They are, there's some impressive new players on this team.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that. You've got some audio, right?
Yeah, we got part of the press pool earlier today at the Waltos. Am I saying that right? The Waltos?
Waltos.
Waltos, okay. Mm-hmm. So at the Waltos, the new football complex. The Walt? You know, for all right, so.
I like it, yeah.
All right,
that's fine.
All right, I was over at Walt, at Walt's house, and so we were able to talk with, as I mentioned, four players from this year's team. Had a long talk with Gunnar Britton. Got about 15 minutes of Gunnar Britton. I'm asking a lot of those questions. There's also a few other members of the media. Marcus Harris went for a long time. I got in on the tail end of Marcus Harris's conversation, but he was able to give us a couple minutes. So we've got about 4 or 5 minutes of Marcus and Keontae Scott. We've got a little bit more of Tyler Fromm, and then, yeah, nearly 15 minutes talking with Auburn's new tackle, Gunnar Britton. And he goes into detail. I hadn't heard this stuff. He goes into detail about his recruitment to Auburn in a way.
Well, that's interesting to find out how, you know, guys in the portal.
Yeah, if you're wondering how.
I think that'd be really interesting.
Somebody who had options in the portal, how he ends up at Auburn and vice versa. Yeah, I mean, Gunnar Britton talked about. And he referenced the game he played last year at Auburn, Western Kentucky, coming to Auburn late in the season last year. And he said, yeah, Marcus Harris immediately, like, we saw each other and immediately recognized each other at the first time he came to Auburn, because they had gone face-to-face for the entire Auburn-Western Kentucky game, pretty much. And so they were immediately recognized, like, I know who he is, and vice versa. So, yeah, some great stuff from Gunnar Britton. Tyler Fromm talked about the offense, and I mean, he's really observant about not just his position, but what Auburn is trying to do with the passing game, what Auburn has in its new offensive linemen. Some really cool stuff from Tyler Fromm. I was more drawn, nothing against Keontae or Marcus, and I look forward every time I get to talk to both those guys. I had more questions about the offensive side right now, so I spent a little bit more time with the linemen and Tyler Fromm. But no, we can run as much of that as we can later on in the show.
We'll give you more of our thoughts from practice, talk about that. Let you hear some of the interviews as well. Your calls come first. The Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, the sponsor of our number one, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They are also the sponsor of our hotline. And that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe if you listen to the show that way, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center. That's presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Again, big shout out to Derek and everybody at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's go ahead and get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and James is up first this afternoon. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. Sorry I hadn't been able to call in lately. I was listening to the show Wednesday, and I could call in because I was doing some things. But on that conference expansion that y'all were talking about on Wednesday, and then I know it's the big news today.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, if I was the SEC commissioner, I would go after Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Miami, and Clemson, maybe Florida State. And that's about it on my front. But I could be wrong that they would leave without Duke. But I don't know. From people I talk to in North Carolina that are North Carolina fans or supporters, they really don't care for Duke one way or another. And I don't know if they really want to be with them anymore. But I could be wrong about that. So
no, I don't know that I disagree with that thought. I just wonder. I just wonder the state. How the state would react, and you know, you get politics usually end up getting involved, getting into this thing as well. So
yeah,
I just wonder how easy it would be for some to break away.
I don't know if the ACC breaks apart because certain schools in that conference, and the problem right now, I saw the quote from, and I like North Carolina's president, Bubba Cunningham, I think is his
AD.
North Carolina's AD, I think it was
AD,
who said,
yeah.
Smart guy, and says. He said something like, in response, and okay, part of the quote I think is accurate, where he's saying Florida State should probably not be trying to handle this publicly. Like, there's a way to negotiate this without going to the media and saying we're looking for, you know, the handling it the way Florida State has handled of late. But he also says something like, you don't necessarily need the most television revenue to win. And I think that's going to be a harder sell to some of the other schools in the ACC when you tell them, well, the fact that the Big Ten schools and the SEC schools are getting more money from their television deals than you are, don't let that stop you from competing with them. Like, that's not going to be a satisfactory answer to especially the football powers in the ACC, the places that see themselves as football powers. And so maybe the basketball-oriented schools band together. Because you know there've always been sort of segments of the ACC anyway. Maybe the North Carolina schools and Virginia and Syracuse, you know, decide they're sticking together as six teams that will prioritize basketball in their conference alignment situation. Maybe any one of those teams would jump at the chance to go to the Big Ten if the Big Ten called and offered them a spot. Yeah, I can't help but think the ACC is not going to be able, unless they find, I don't know, someone willing to renegotiate the deal, like someone, you know, willing to offer them a lot more money to keep the conference together. Like, I don't know what realistic solution there is other than feels like some schools in the ACC are going to try to leave and get themselves a better deal in a different league.
I find it funny, Dan, that my Florida sister grad and my Florida State sister grad got into it earlier this week because my Florida State sister is on board with Florida State about leaving.
Sure.
But my Florida sister said, listen, I don't know what your problem is. You have nowhere to go because you don't – it's not like you have a lot of money. You're not Miami with a lot of money. So you're going to spend $120 million to get out. You better have something backed up over there before you start talking trash. And it got quite comical for a while. I just don't think
I
find that interesting.
I don't think Florida State would be the only team to leave in a situation like that. I know there's language in the ACC contract that makes it different if multiple teams or a significant chunk of the league wants out. And that seems to me, I wonder if Florida State's trying to find partners in the conference and if four or six of them decide to leave for somewhere else, then they become a force to be reckoned with within the ACC. And there are schools in the ACC that see themselves as teams that could realistically make the college football playoff when it expands on a consistent basis. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, there are other schools in the ACC that probably don't have that kind of goal in mind.
You're right.
Realistically. And I could see a conflict between the schools that say we need the biggest deal possible to fund our football program and make it competitive with the best schools in the SEC and the Big Ten, and the schools in the ACC that are like, nah, like we're not really looking to do what it takes to be a football national championship type of program. And if you need to be in a conference that allows you to do that, then go find a different conference.
Hey, Dan, I wanted to ask you guys if y'all noticed Kevin Plank being at the athletic department today or over at the football facility. Did y'all see him today?
No. I was in and out a couple times, did not.
There's
you heard that?
A couple of posts, a couple of people posted video pictures of him with Under Armour stuff. I guess he's talking to somebody, so...
You know, I just
well, they can do that.
I mean, after the Notre Dame deal, like I could see why Under Armour maybe the decision is they're going to hold on to their best partners, and Auburn, you know, it's coming up on 20 years. Like Auburn and Under Armour have been together for, you know, for a lot of fans, it's what they know when it comes to Auburn's apparel. So yeah, I don't know if that I would not necessarily. Like, write a eulogy for the Auburn Under Armour partnership quite yet.
Yep. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'll keep informed on the practice stuff.
All right.
I'll see you later.
Appreciate the call, James. Yeah, and of course, today's been a crazy day regarding news around the Pac-12. I mean, you've had, differing reports.
What Pac-12?
Yeah, well, it looked like maybe things weren't going completely that way in the, you know, midday, there were reports conflicting with the earlier ones. But as we come on the air, it appears Oregon and Washington are very close to joining the Big Ten, and Arizona is ready to join the Big 12.
Oregon and Washington aren't the kind of programs that are going to stick with a conference if it agrees. Even they're charter members of that league. They're not going to stick with a conference if it's like, hey, gamble with us on a streaming service and take your games off. Put all your games behind the paywall of a streaming service and basically lose your national television presence. Maybe someday that's going to be a real option for a team trying to be relevant. But in 24 and 25, I just think if you're playing the majority of your games on Apple Plus in 2024, like that, It's going to be hard to convince people.
If you didn't have anything, then that could be okay.
Right, but if you have the option to join the Big Ten instead,
sure.
If you're Oregon or Washington.
Oh, then it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, and maybe someday it won't be. But and now when you look at who else is looking to leave the league, I mean, what would Oregon's schedule have looked like had they stayed in the, like, right? I mean, Oregon and Washington stay.
Does the Big 12 want Arizona State and Utah?
I could see it. I can see it for football.
Is Arizona just the first one that's going to go, okay, we'll do it, and then I sort of feel for Cal and Stanford right now if the Big Ten doesn't come after them.
Yeah, Cal more than Stanford, because I feel like Stanford can assemble a football schedule. Like Justin and I have kicked around the idea.
Stanford could be an independent.
Stanford could find eight teams that would want Stanford on the schedule every year and would be happy to take a trip to Palo Alto every other year, right? Stanford could play the service academies.
Yeah.
Stanford could play Notre Dame. Stanford could probably find a Big Ten team or two to put them on the schedule on a regular basis. Maybe Stanford has a game on the East Coast.
They'd probably, I don't think that the schools leaving the Pac-12 for the Big Ten are going to have their schedule completely full.
I mean, and if you're Cal, do you look at the Mountain West and think if Oregon State and Washington State are joining, and
it's better than trying to go on your own?
Yeah,
and
San Diego State's a decent. I mean, they just played for a national championship in basketball, and they've got some winning. You know, they've had some winning programs in football. Like, I don't know. Like, that's, would the Big 12 want Cal? That's pretty far east,
yeah,
or pretty
is.
Far west for
pretty
them.
Far west.
It's so far west, it's almost east, right? I mean, that's. But like, no, it's. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's a big media market and a big school, and it does feel like they wouldn't.
The way things are going, I mean, you know, we may have a much better idea just by the first of next week.
Does the Big 12 just keep taking leftovers from everyone?
And maybe so, and then start discarding some of the lesser.
You have a 32-team Big 12 with, like, Cal at Boston College on Thursday night in a conference game? Like, is that where we're – I mean, it does feel like if you're – here's where I would think it is, Bill. If you've got a seat in the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 right now because of their media rights deal situations.
Yeah, the Big 12 feels better than the ACC.
You all feel good.
Mm-hmm.
ACC teams, especially ones that feel like they should be football powerhouses, should be nervous because they could be changing conferences soon. And I feel awful for – well, you know, that's not true. The Mountain West is a fine league. Oregon State and Washington State will do fine in it, if you know, assuming they get in. But, like, that's someone who – I mean, that feels like they're losing their meal ticket, right, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you were in the Pac-12 with – you know, you were on national television against teams in the top 10. And occasionally you had great seasons yourself. Those days feel like they're over.
Yeah, I think they are long gone. All right, we need to get to our first break. We'll let you hear some audio. We'll talk more about how the things are going early on in practice for Auburn football. But we need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Bending, stretching, walking. The simple moves in life are a real...
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Yeah, we'll... We can talk a little bit more. I was trying to figure out, like I said, it was interesting seeing the players shadowing, you know, with linebackers and secondary, something I hadn't thought about, but I see where Nathan King, I think it does make sense. Nathan said it was the ones with the number three guy behind them, and then when the two defensive line was out there, it would make sense that it would be your number two linebackers and secondary with the fourth, if there's a fourth string behind them. And that's where we saw a lot of players. Auburn's got eight linebackers, and they have, I think, 14 scholarship secondary guys. So the ability to go four deep, but that makes sense that with the ones, you'd get the threes in there behind them and let the second linebackers and safeties be in there. I just watched very briefly some of the offense. I thought it was interesting today. And again, Hugh Freeze has said they're going to rotate all three, the top three quarterbacks. You know, Robbie Ashford, Holden Garner, and Peyton Thorne are going to get equal time throughout the first 10 days of practice. But today, it was Peyton Thorne and Holden Garner working with the number one offensive line, and Robbie Ashford working with the second offensive line. So that's a little of some of the things we saw. I mean, like you said, Dan, I mean, there's no way that you can not sort of just have – Caleb Burton's going to catch your eye. I mean, just – he flashes. I mean, he's a guy that – is really quick off the line of scrimmage. Looks like a smooth route runner. And then Jair Shorter and Shane Hooks are two big guys. You're right. Lots of throws toward Nick Mardner. Jay Fair is a guy that appears to be getting a lot of work here early on in the fall. Now, no Jarquez Hunter practicing today, although there was word, I didn't see him, but there was word that that he was spotted at the complex a couple of times today.
And I do think it's notable that he's listed on the roster, right? Like, I think if this were a very serious situation, the numerical rosters we get every day.
Well, if he were not, if he were gone, he would not be on the roster.
That's what I mean. And so I think that keeps open the possibility that before the end of fall practice, or certainly if not before the end of the season, Jarquez Hunter could be back with the team. Although right now, I feel like we can only really talk about what's in front of us, right? So it's like it's part of the reason I asked Hugh Freeze about the rest of the running back room is because, at least at the moment, when we talk about the running backs for Auburn, we don't talk about Jarquez Hunter.
Right.
Now if he comes back, I expect him to be a big part of it. But right now it's and that's I think part of the reason why there's been buzz about Damari Alston, because if the Jarquez situation doesn't become more clear and eventually be go in Jarquez's favor, Damari Alston could step into a very big role this season and be a big part of the big part of the offense.
The only other player I haven't seen out there this fall is Caleb Wooden. We know a couple of guys have been banged up a little bit and either just working on the side, things like that, but I haven't seen Caleb yet. So that's just it's still a little early to be adjusting the depth chart too much, but I'm sort of getting a feel. I'm really interested when we get viewing windows next week and they're in pads to see how things are going when they start hitting. All right, I believe we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll run some audio for you as we have opportunities. But again, love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. That's the number here on The Drive.
It's capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And as we come on, we're seeing that we were talking about conference realignment, and I said, gee, what's the holdup with Arizona State and Utah? Well, apparently they're now applying for membership in the Big 12. So Arizona State, Utah appear to be headed to the Big 12. Oregon and Washington are very close to joining the Big 10. Forget those numbers. I have no idea. I'm losing track of how many teams league has.
You can't rename every time you add or join a member.
The Big Ten will now have 18, and I think that may be how many the Big 12 will have.
Now those numbers mean how many time zones are represented in the membership, right? I mean, between the Big 12 is going to have. I mean, they could take a team from Asia next, right?
Like,
there's no telling like who the next member of the Big 12 could be. So yeah, Pete Thamel in the last hour reporting that both Arizona State and Utah have applied for formal membership to the Big 12 conference. Pac-12 appears to be
Pac-12 is toast.
It's a shift that started probably. I mean. Because I've heard people say, oh, the Big Ten put a knife into the Pac-12 or the Big 12s. But it's like this was mismanagement by the Pac-12. They needed to and look, I understand the gamble, because a couple of years ago, sports media rights felt like it was a fountain that would never turn off. Like it was mm-hmm. always good. There was always going to be money in renegotiating.
There was always going to be more.
It was always going to be bigger.
Right.
So you didn't need to wait and settle a contract now. But things change, and ESPN is sort of publicly, you got Bob Iger out there, the head of Disney, and he's talking about, well, what will we do with ESPN when cable subscriptions drop below 60 million, when they drop below 50 million, when they drop below 40, like when those revenue, like the math is changing for broadcasters, and the Pac-12, the partners the Pac-12 thought would be out there ready to give them $30-40 million per team mm-hmm. to keep their games on national television. There's not a dance partner. The people that want to be in the business of a big media rights deal with a conference, they've already found their conference. The ESPN has the SEC and a deal with the Big 12. Fox and CBS are in business with the Pac-10 or with the Big 10. I mean, it's just not there, there's not a. I mean, there doesn't appear to be someone to offer the Pac-12 the kind of deal that they wanted, and you're seeing what membership is doing with in the face of an unsatisfactory media rights deal for the Pac-12. And it's absolutely the notion that the notion that someone at UNC would toss out there, you know, don't sweat it if other schools are in conferences that are bringing in a lot more revenue than you are. Like that, like just like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. The don't worry, be happy approach will not work with the, you know, and
Which is what the North Carolina athletics director did today about Florida State.
Yes. Is he's, you know, he's, and I think I agree with the notion that, you know, it would probably better be, it'd be best for the conference if it was handled behind closed doors. Like I can't disagree with someone who feels that way, but I cannot like, Your argument can't be, hey, Clemson and Florida State, chill out. Like, it can't just be, relax, don't worry about it, because they've invested enough in football, and there are other schools too in that league that, you know, they're not gonna sit idly by and watch as other teams lap them in revenue because they're in different conferences. So yeah, I think it's a cautionary tale of what can happen if your media rights deal isn't satisfactory to your most important members. And sure enough, Bill, Pac-12's the mall. It's going out of business, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are four teams left, right? Isn't that it? Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, and Stanford.
I mean, assuming Arizona State and Utah to the Big 12.
Oh, the Big 12's going to say, come on in.
And the Big 12's going to say yes and take the four corners teams, you know, that fit geographically. And I mean, you between Arizona hasn't been a football program with much of a pulse over the last few ever. But they're a basketball superpower. They're a men's basketball superpower.
There's a market there, though.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh no. There's a fan base, and they're a men's basketball superpower. And we've heard people say all the time Arizona State is one of those programs that has underachieved historically versus what resources are seemingly available to that program between the metropolitan area and the proximity to both Southern California and Texas. Like that's a, you know, that's a program that I could understand a conference wanting for a variety of reasons. Then Colorado and Utah are brand names in their own right. So yeah, the Big 12 comes out of this looking great. There was a time when we thought, remember after Texas and Oklahoma,
how's the Big 12 going to survive? There's no way.
No, not just that, but how are you going to keep the other schools? Because we thought between the Big 10, the ACC, and the Pac 12.
Yeah,
we thought
those Big 12 schools were more likely headed to the Pac 12.
You could carve up the Pac, you know, you could carve up the Big 12 in a way where it's like, okay, well, yep, here's some Big 10 schools that would make. This is before USC and UCLA exited the Pac 12. Like back when the Pac 12 looked like they were being in a position of strength. Turns out the Big 10 wasn't looking at any of these Big 12 schools. They were looking at USC and UCLA and saying no.
And the
no,
Big
no.
12, the Big 12 was going ahead and let's go out and get some of those other schools that have, I mean, that are good-sized schools and have, you know, the capability of competing at this level. You know, UCF and Cincinnati, and I mean,
and that makes me wonder if the Big 12 is done, right? I mean,
yeah, I don't think they are.
Between the possibility of the ACC breaking apart,
well, I mean, adding Arizona State, and Utah.
If you're the Big 12,
Colorado,
and I have heard no rumors about this, but let's just throw it out there. If you're the Big 12 and you just lost your two marquee football programs and Florida State's as unhappy as they are, wouldn't you kick the tires on the Florida
State? Absolutely.
Wouldn't you kick the tires on the Florida State Seminoles?
If the SEC is going to sit and say, we're fine at 16, I'm sure the Big 12 would say, well, come on in.
And there's probably more money in it for you than there is currently in the ACC deal, potentially. We'll see.
Well, Florida State's got to find some other teams ready to leave so that they don't have to pay that $120 million buyout.
And I wonder if they can. Like, I wonder if there's a couple other teams in the ACC that also say, hey, if there was a landing spot for us, Clemson, Miami, yeah, Virginia Tech, Louisville. There are places that have won in football that would think, hey, if there's a better spot for us. Now, there also could be, I have this crazy idea that the four North Carolina programs in that state and Virginia, and maybe Syracuse would want to stick together and be like one unit for a conference. Those six would maybe fit in the Big Ten, depending on what the Big Ten would want to do. That's six new schools if the Big Ten wanted to go that way. But it's four prominent North Carolina programs.
What would happen now if the SEC watched the Big Ten and the Big 12 all of a sudden go to 24 schools? I guess the SEC just stays at 16 and...
Well, I mean, it depends on it. I mean,
because that would pretty much all right. Notre Dame's the only team that's left out in this talk.
And it sounds like Notre Dame is very happy with their NBC deal at the moment. They don't, you know, that's
so Notre Dame stays an independent. You've got a 24. You'd have a potential 24 team Big Ten, a 24 team Big 12, and then a 16 team SEC.
One of those questions would be, I guess, the question of if Florida State. And you can say, you can parenthetical, other ACC programs that you think of as football schools as well. But especially since Florida State's been the loudest, let's use them.
Mm-hmm.
If Florida State were truly available to the other conferences, who's calling?
I think the Big 12 jumps on it first. I think the SEC would like to weigh the options.
And maybe the Big 10 just because the other two conferences want them too. Maybe the Big Ten would say.
Maybe, but I think the Big Ten would be happy if they wanted to expand more to be taking North Carolina, Duke,
and they've seen themselves
Virginia, Miami,
and they I guess there's an academic sort of element to Big Ten identity that you know people mm-hmm. have wondered about, people have kicked around, and not that Florida. I mean, look, Florida State is the Harvard of Tallahassee, Florida. All right, so
you're right there.
Multiple relatives who went there. Like I'm not going to knock that. Yeah, so I mean but I do wonder if that's it's like when we're talking about it's a little bit like is it a cultural fit? Is it an academic fit? Because as a football program, I think Florida State would fit anywhere that wants them based on their success over the last few decades. It's not just about
it's
that
not
though.
So. No, it's not just the athletic department.
But I do
because
think
Florida State's been good in more than just football.
But I think between the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC, or between the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10, I would think that at least two would be interested in the possibility of adding Florida State at the right price if Florida State was out of there. And I do wonder if that also goes for most of the teams in the ACC that you think of as football. You know, football oriented. So that's FSU, Clemson, Miami to an extent, Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech's an interesting one, right? Because is that an SEC school?
They feel more like SEC than Virginia.
But are they a Big 12 school? Because everyone could be.
They feel more like a Big 12 school than an SEC school.
And if you're the Big 12.
I mean, if West Virginia's in the Big 12, I think Virginia Tech sort of feels like.
And if you're in the Big 12, I mean, the expansion east is one thing. And there's also, like, I mean, land some places that have reputations in football.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to make. Look, you're probably not going to replace Texas and Oklahoma in one fell swoop. But
if you bring in, you know, a half dozen or more. Names,
quality football programs. You can do what you want, and it seems like geography matters less than ever before.
Oh no, no so, I mean, question yeah,
why,
about
why,
that.
Why not? I mean, the ACC's got barbarians at the gate, right? Mm-hmm. Like you better keep the programs people would want happy, or your league will turn.
Yeah, the ACC's
Pac-12.
Next. The Pac-12 has seen its league just fall apart, and the ACC could be next.
The
Pac-12 didn't have the exit fee. The way the ACC does, but if multiple teams do it, then they don't have to pay that huge fee. So, yeah, stay tuned. This is crazy that it's moving, you know, as we're just a couple of weeks, just a few weeks away from the start of the fall terms and college football, conference realignment is really ramping up.
And I do feel for student-athletes who signed to play in, you know, for a Pac-12 school.
Right.
And now the next 4 or 5 years are like you're an incoming freshman at Oregon State or something. Like, who knows what you're going to be doing over the next couple of seasons? But I guess you know we tell everyone else it's year to year, right? It's all year to year anyway. So
we're all day to day,
and you know you probably you know here we are in August. You probably know what conference you're going to be in this season, and
yeah, hopefully you know where you are now, and you know if you're fortunate. Maybe your school's still in that same conference a year from now. After you want them to be.
I mean, but there's a lot.
Sometimes it's not. It could be, unfortunately, you're still in the same conference.
I mean, pretty much, a lot of the student-athletes going into the portal are playing in a different conference. There are going to be a bunch of student-athletes that didn't go into the portal and are still playing in a different conference from the 2023 season to the one after that.
All right, we'll get to our first break here of hour number two, which is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic, the go-to center in Auburn and Opelika for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Available however you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, rate, review, subscribe if you consume the podcast that way, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. It's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Got more audio. Who do we want to hear from next?
Well, we played Gunner. You want to go to the defense with Marcus or Keontae?
Oh, let's hear Marcus.
Okay, we got both of those. You want to do that when we come back?
Yeah, we will do that. Of course, your calls come first, but if we don't have calls, we'll let you hear some audio from today's media opportunity with Auburn football here on the Friday Drive. Opportunity to see if players are lining up at any different positions. I didn't really notice anybody at anything different. J.C. Hart was at corner today. Sylvester Smith is working some at nickel, the youngster who I think some folks had thought might be a safety. But, I mean, he'll probably get some work at safety as well. But didn't see anybody else really moving around to different spots. Caden, I did notice as I was walking over to look to watch the defense lineup, Caleb Burton was running outside the entire time that I was watching today. So I think they're looking at Caleb Burton both in the slot and as an outside receiver.
Yeah, I wonder when the dust settles at receiver, how big the rotation is, who's in it, where are they playing. But Caleb Burton has been impressive at different spots over these first 2 days. And, my radar was up when Jason said, "Yeah, he's been training unlike the other receivers. He's brought a lot of the Ohio State methods with him, from his previous school, and that's a place where receivers have had a great deal of success. And so it's interesting. And he was also, I was talking with somebody about this, Bill, because I forgot a couple of these names. Who would be the top recruit coming out of high school on the team? Because I thought it was Keldrick. Caleb Burton's on the list.
The top recruit on the roster?
Yeah, coming out of high school, they were as high school players. I think it's Justin Rogers. It was pointed out to me. I think
he a five star?
I think he might have been a five star, which I
because I saw something written the other day that Keldrick Falk was the only five star on the roster. If that's the case, he would be.
So I believe I was chit chatting with Nathan and Jason about this in the parking lot on our way out of the viewing window. So you'd have Justin Rogers, you'd have Keldrick, Caleb Burton would be
somewhere up there.
Zykevious is someone that I would forget about, but is absolutely someone in that mix.
And he's a guy that when we were talking about Auburn doesn't ever get anybody that Alabama or Georgia wanted, Zykevious Walker was.
Oh, absolutely he was. And as was, another guy that I think because of the fact that his career maybe hasn't played out like he was a major recruit, people would forget is Wesley Steiner, who was also Steiner was a very big deal as a high school recruit, and is probably on the short list of if you were to evaluate
top 10 guys.
Yeah, if you were to look
ranked coming out of high school.
Yeah, if you were to look at this roster and look at where they were coming out of high school, Steiner would probably be in the top 6, top 8, which I wonder if that's necessarily what people would have voted or where people would have had him in that situation. But no, it's there have been a couple of impressive looking players and some of the, Justin Rogers Justin Rogers is right there too, but Caleb Burton surprising people his first couple days, I think, with how far along he is.
All right, Auburn's four stars 4 years ago were the number one. Wow, that's interesting. The top-rated player on 24/7's list was Wesley Steiner, one spot ahead of Tank Bigsby, who was 12 spots ahead of Zykevious Walker. And then next up was Jay Hardy, who's no longer here, and then Malcolm Johnson. So those are the guys from 2020 I was looking for their I want to look at the composite.
Rodgers as a composite, I believe, was 50th nationally. I wonder if Auburn has a guy on the roster right now who was higher than that in the composites. 52nd nationally is where this is looking at him as a high school player. Look at the guy who ends up. Yeah, I mean, so that's, and he's someone whose name has come up. I mean, Gunnar Britton just mentioned him as one of the, you know, for the, when you think about defensive players who are explosive for their size, Justin Rodgers is one of the names that comes up. You know, as you know, he's big like a lot of defensive linemen, but it's when he gets moving and his ability to change direction.
Yeah, interesting. Stop and I mean, start. I had him at the top of my depth chart heading into fall, but it's been Jason Jones running at the one with Justin number two. That's a nice 1-2 that Auburn has there at the nose.
Sure, and with Marcus and Keldrick playing the same position, mm-hmm. you wonder if you could see a lot. I mean, look, Auburn defense, especially towards the end of last season, the rotation wasn't there on the defensive line. Like Auburn had Colby and Marcus and Jason, really, right, and played them a ton compared to just about everybody else. Like the reserve defensive linemen were not called upon, and Auburn would love to have a situation where it's more like Jeffrey Imbaugh barely played last year, right?
Like, yeah, that's like true.
I mean, Auburn rarely went to the reserves with the defensive line, and it came through a couple times when Auburn was trying to stop the run, and you know, especially late in games, they didn't have anything left. So yeah, I think that the fact that Auburn seemingly has multiple players, Marcus, Keldrick, Jason, Justin Rodgers, Marilyn Moe, like you've got a bunch of guys that are in there battling to be in a rotation that's hopefully larger than it was last season.
All right, just for fun.
Yeah, what do you got, Bill?
Just for fun, let's look back to the guys who would be seniors this year and their composite ranking from 2020. How have these turned out? There are 32 5-stars every year. All right. The number one player composite in the nation in 2020. I'm not even sure how to pronounce his name. Brian Bresee? Bresee?
Okay.
Bresee?
Yeah. I think it's Bresee.
Okay.
Tilt the computer towards me.
Bresee. It looks like Bresee.
Bresee?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That was the number one player in the nation.
Boy, how easily we forget.
In 2020, ahead of Bryce Young. Bryce turned out okay.
Benefit of hindsight, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule this guy out, but you know.
Number three, and he signed with Clemson. He was a defensive lineman and signed with Clemson. Number three was Julian Fleming, a receiver who signed with Ohio State. Number four, Kelly Ringo, corner out of Arizona who signed with Georgia, yeah. And then,
do you want to just pick the ones you know about?
Eric Gilbert.
I've heard of him.
We know him, was number five. Justin Flo, signed linebacker with Oregon. Miles Murphy.
The ones that end with you, the ones that end in a question,
yeah,
are the ones you should skip over when you're asking.
Jordan Birch, I know, at South Carolina. Paris Johnson was an offensive lineman signed with Ohio State. DJ Uiagalelei.
Heard of him. By the way, do you see the you see he was drafted in the baseball draft,
yeah,
earlier this summer, and he hasn't played. It's been a very long time since he's played a competitive baseball game. It's just the Dodgers thinking he's got the underlying tools as an athlete, where if he wanted to specialize as a pitcher, they think he could pick it up. But DJ Uiagalelei, part of, at least he's, you know, he's probably one of these Oregon State guys, doesn't have to worry beyond this season because you know, he's, well, I got a couple years,
that's right,
I guess, but.
There are quite a few guys in here that haven't made big names for themselves.
Is class of 2020?
Yeah, class of 2020. I was just looking at that, going to look and see, you know, who of guys, if there's anybody on Auburn's roster who showed up anywhere. And then you said that Justin Rogers was number 52 or something.
Just outside the top 50, I think, was where he ended up in as a
– Yeah, he is number 52. So he is the highest player from the 2020 class on the Auburn roster. But yeah, I thought that's it's fun to go back in a few years and go, gee, how many of these guys? Because a lot of people think, well, if he's a five star, then it's a sure thing.
Keldrick is 74th in the 24/7 composite from this past year. So Keldrick Faulk was,
what was his rating though?
He was a four star in the composite.
Yeah, what was the
74th nationally, 10th?
Does it have like a
0.965?
Okay.
Is where they had
it. Justin Rogers was a 0.9744.
Okay. So
I think that's what you can look at, because one year, you know, you may have guys that are a little higher rated in the
at the risk of leaving someone out. I would think that the guys on Auburn's roster who were top 100 players in the composite coming out of high school, the guys on this roster would be Justin Rogers, Keldrick Faulk, Zykevious Walker, Caleb Burton, and Wesley Steiner. I'll say those are your guys that were on this roster. I'm thinking those are your guys that were top 100 players coming out of high school on the team. Which, by the way,
I think you're probably right.
Have that many, you could trade that few for an Auburn program. How many do they have committed that are top 100 in the 24 class?
Three
or four on the roster.
I know.
Right now. That's on the whole roster. And with the chance that you could add another one this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Stay tuned.
Haven't talked much about that today, but.
No. Yeah, we can talk about that as, KJ Bolden gonna make a decision, make an announcement tomorrow. We've got more audio we can run. Maybe let you listen to some Marcus Harris.
Here's what I'll say about the KJ thing. There are confident-sounding people with different fan bases.
Yes.
Auburn people I talked to are confident, too. They think
Georgia folks are getting more confident by the day, but then it's tough for them not to be confident.
Want to see how that shakes out.
Yep. All right, we'll be back. Final half hour coming up here on the Friday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final half hour of the Friday Drive with Bill and Dan. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Bill is up first. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, I'm going to throw my two cents in for whatever it's worth on a Friday afternoon. I'm buying in. I believe Passalt. Yeah, I remember Doug Barfield. I remember Pat Dodd coming along. I remember Terry Bowden coming in, so forth, so on. You could tell who was for real and maybe who wasn't, but I really believe Coach Freeze has got something going here. You're going out and getting guys who want to play on the big stage, who maybe they just want to take it to another level. I don't know. But I really like what I'm seeing. And I'm not a blind loyalist. I don't just jump into this stuff and make myself sound stupid because I think we're just great because we're Auburn. But I really believe this is something special. I believe these kids will come through. I think they're going to play a lot better than people think. Some of them are hungry, and they want to prove themselves. I'm buying in. I'm going to go to LSU. I said never go to LSU again, but I'm going again.
I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that quite a few times. Not just from you, I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm going to go again. And, you know, if they have to win, I hope they win. But I think these kids will play hard, and I'll make a trip like at the play.
Well, it's the end of the yearly series, too, Bill. I mean, we'll see. Auburn and LSU will see each other the way Auburn will see other SEC programs. But you know, I have a feeling we got a clue in 24 about the rivalries the conference, you know, feels like they need to preserve, and the ones they don't think they need to preserve moving forward. And yeah, I think Auburn LSU. and Auburn versus the Mississippi schools could be on the chopping block as yearly games. So, yeah, you get the chance to go to any of those this year. It could be extra special because it's not, you know, not yearly anymore.
I'll go to the home games. I go to all of them. But I wasn't going to go, but I'm going to go to the Cal game. And Dan talked me into it on a call-in one day, and I'm going to stay out by the 49ers stadium. A little pricey, but, you know, there's no saying you get what you pay for. So I'm going high-end. But I'm going to support this team. I like what Hugh Freeze is doing. I like the comments I heard from Gunnar Britton. I like these guys sound hungry. By the way, if Tex is listening, if when I come to Baton Rouge, I hope he'll let us into a soiree to enjoy a Saturday in Baton Rouge. But I like what the coach is doing. I really do. I think that I'm not predicting a conference championship or a national championship. I'm just saying I think these kids will play hard.
I agree there.
I believe people are saying, I hear all the ridiculous remarks people make up. You know, everybody's had problems in their life, and Hugh Freeze made some mistakes. He's atoned for that. He's moving on, and I'll move along with him. I think this guy is going to do a good job. He's motivated. He's energized, and that's something we haven't had in a while. Auburn's a great place. It's not the end of the world. And,
something I picked up on these last couple of days too, and it was hearing his remarks yesterday. We've talked a lot about coaches that feel increasingly uncomfortable with where college athletics is going, and they don't like the way that avenues of earning money have been introduced for student athletes, you know, without jeopardizing their eligibility, and the transfer portal and things like that. We've seen big names walk away from college football and college basketball. Hugh Freeze seems incredibly comfortable with where college football is going and giving that autonomy to recruits and letting them decide how much money they want to earn and where they want to play year by year. Things like that. Like, Hugh Freeze seems like someone who's comfortable playing that game.
You're right.
If that's the game that they've decided the college athletics is going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. I believe he's embraced what it is, what it's going to take to be successful, much like, coaches around us have done, our adversaries. And, that's great. I couldn't be more happier. He just sounds like he's happy to be here. Mm-hmm. He wants to do the best job he can do to succeed. And I can live with that.
Folks can feel however they want personally about the changes to college athletics over the last couple of years. I would be so nervous and apprehensive and uncomfortable if I were rooting for a team where the coach was sort of publicly, I don't like NIL, and I don't like the transfer portal, and I'm going to be a curmudgeon, and I'm going to try to convince kids to come play for me like that way. Like, I just think trying to embrace it and make, you know, make the atmosphere as fun as possible, and we've seen Eric Musselman do this too, where you turn your program into a destination for players that are in the portal, and then see how many leave from your current crop, because a lot of guys may not want to leave that if it's working successfully, and if they want to leave, they might leave for the pros and not for a different college program. So yeah, I just think it's to hear Hugh Freeze talk about, you know, sort of what he's doing on the recruiting trail and how it's paid dividends in different ways. You know, I would not want a coach that feels like he's in the wrong era. And Hugh Freeze does not seem like he's in the wrong era of college football right now.
No, he doesn't. And he looks like he's up to the challenge. I'm really glad he's here. And again, enjoy the show, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Bill. 334-321-1390. And Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I feel really good about K.J. Beldon. Bolden,
yeah. Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah, me too. It seems like a great player. I'm interested in DeAndre Carter, the lineman.
Yeah, I mean, there had been, you know, I think some hope initially that he might go ahead and get caught up and commit to Auburn right there on the heels of Big Cat. I mean, I think Auburn is still very much a big factor for him. But it looks like he's going to wait a little while. I believe he's scheduled to come back for an official visit, though, early in the season.
Yeah, Auburn would love to Auburn would love to pull off KJ Bolden this weekend, but so would Alabama, and so would Florida State, and so would Georgia. So like that's one where there's rumor out there, and I think there are a couple of programs and a couple of fan bases that feel like they're in the lead. But I don't think we're going to find out anything meaningful about the KJ Bolden thing until he puts a hat on, right? During his announcement.
And as far as Carter, yeah, I believe he said he's coming back here early, but he's also got an official visit scheduled for Texas at the end of September.
You got anything else, Jerry?
No, those two are the two keys to the class, I think.
They're the next two big ones that everybody's been talking about. That's right.
Great
appreciate
stuff.
It, Jerry.
Great
Have
stuff,
a good
Jerry.
Weekend.
You want to run Marcus before we take a break?
Yeah, let's hear a little of Marcus Harris.